Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our study of the book of Amos. And today we are in chapter 7. And chapter 8. This is God's word. The Lord showed me this. He was forming a swarm of locusts at the time the spring crop first began to sprout, after the cutting of the king's hay. When the locusts finished eating the vegetation of the land, I said, "Lord God, please forgive. How will Jacob survive since he is so small?" The Lord relented concerning this. "It will not happen," he said. The Lord showed me this. The Lord God was calling for a judgment by fire. It consumed the great deep and devoured the land. Then I said, "Lord God, please stop. How will Jacob survive since he is so small?" The Lord relented concerning this. "It will not happen either," said the Lord God. He showed me this. The Lord was standing there by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" I replied, "A plumb line." Then the Lord said, "I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will no longer spare them. Isaac's high places will be deserted and Israel's sanctuaries will be in ruins. I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with a sword." Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent word to King Jeroboam of Israel saying, "Amos has conspired against you right here in the house of Israel. The land cannot endure all his words. For Amos has said this, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will certainly go into exile from its homeland." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Go away, you seer. Flee to the land of Judah. Earn your living and give your prophecies there. But don't ever prophesy at Bethel again. It is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." So Amos answered Amaziah, "I was not a prophet or the son of a prophet. Rather, I was a herdsman and I took care of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel. Do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will be a prostitute in the city. Your sons and daughters will fall by the sword, and your land will be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself will die on pagan soil, and Israel will certainly go into exile from its homeland." The Lord showed me this, a basket of summer fruit. He asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" I replied, "A basket of summer fruit." The Lord said to me, "The end has come for my people Israel. I will no longer spare them. In that day, the temple songs will become wailing. This is the Lord God's declaration. Many dead bodies thrown everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and do away with the poor of the land, asking, 'When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain and the Sabbath so that we may market wheat. We can reduce the measure while increasing the price and cheat with dishonest scales. We can buy the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and even sell the chaff. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget all their deeds. Because of this, won't the land quake and all who dwell in it mourn? All of it will rise like the Nile. It will surge and then subside like the Nile in Egypt. And in that day, this is the declaration of the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon. I will darken the land in the daytime. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will cause everyone to wear sackcloth and every head to be shaved. I will make that grief like mourning for an only son at its outcome, like a bitter day. Look, the days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord God. When I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and roam from north to east seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the beautiful young women, the young men also, will faint from thirst. Those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, as your God lives, Dan, or as the way of Beersheba lives, they will fall, never to rise again. May God bless this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
We've talked before about a medical diagnosis. The fact that when the diagnosis is grim, even some doctors who specialize in that field find it hard to tell their patients, find it hard to put into words because it's just a difficult thing to say. And yet, the truth needs to be told. Amos was not looking to be a prophet. His career was in agriculture. And he says, I was just doing what I'd been doing. My dad wasn't a preacher. I wasn't a preacher. I was just out in the fields. And God gave me a message, told me to go proclaim it. And so it was a matter of obedience to leave his country, Judah, and go to the northern kingdom. And there proclaim a message that people didn't want to hear. They heard it, they were upset by it, but they didn't like it. And certainly the king didn't like it. And in the passage we read today, the priest at Bethel didn't like it. Bethel had been the place where God met with Jacob when he was fleeing from the wrath of his brother Esau. And God had manifested his presence there with a beautiful image in his mind of angels going up and down a staircase into the very holy presence of God. It was an image ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who provides the way into the Father's presence. And yet, in the midst of generations that followed, Bethel had become a place where people were very religious in disobedience to God. Because God had said he wanted everybody to come to Jerusalem to worship there. And God had said before they got Jerusalem, before they took possession of it, this is the place. It was the place where Abraham had been sent with his miracle son Isaac in order to offer him up as a sacrifice, because God was going to offer his son there at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. And so it's important to understand that this business about Bethel, it had been a place of worship. But if you try to worship God with disobedience, you not only aren't earning any points, you are making God angry. And that's what was going on at Bethel. So, when the priest at Bethel says, "Get out of town. You're upsetting everybody." And when he appeals to the king and says, "This man is guilty of destroying the atmosphere here." He says that people cannot endure it. They cannot endure it. He was very serious and treated this as if this is just a man. You know what we have to understand about Scripture? This is not just the word of a man. This is the word of the Lord. It is God's word. There are a lot of people today in our country who don't like what God says. And so they want to dismiss it as the word of man. That's unacceptable. I can't believe that. I refuse to worship a God who would do such a thing. There are a lot of folks today who are talking about being red-letter Christians, okay? I just believe the stuff that's, you know, in red, because those are the things Jesus said. Well, you better read those red letters. Jesus talks more about hell than anybody else in Scripture. Paul didn't say nearly as much about it as Jesus did. So if you want to just believe the red letters, read them. Read them. And if you do what Jesus says, you will embrace all of Scripture. And you will know that this is not just the word of man. This is the word of God. That is very, very important to understand. Well, God spoke not only through the prophet, but to the prophet, and showed him images of the sort of things that could happen if God chose to pour out his wrath in that way. And let me tell you, it was not a pretty picture. The first one had to do with famine. If God sent locusts to destroy the vegetation, we can't get by without it. I am not, let the record show, a vegetarian, okay? If you think, well, I could do without vegetation, you're a nutcase. What do you think the animals you enjoy eating eat? Okay? God knows exactly what we can endure. And the fact is, when he saw what would happen if these locusts came, Amos says, "Please, Lord, please." And the Lord relented concerning this. "It will not happen," he said. The second vision that he gave him was that of fire. And the fire that was going to come would have absolutely devastated. Even the deep, that is the ocean, would be burned up. And again, the prophet says, "Please, please, Lord. How will Jacob survive? How will Israel stand?" You and I need to understand there is a fire like that coming. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. God did not do that at this time to these people, but that fire is still coming. But here, God says, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to send this fire at this time. But what he will do is to establish a plumb line, to raise up a standard, to say, this is it. Now, the plumb line is God's word. Everything is judged by what God declares. And God says, that which is not in line with my word is going to be destroyed. The plumb line here shows that things are so crooked, so messed up, that the consequences are going to be deadly. Now, when the priest hears this, the priest says, get out of here. Go away, you seer. Flee to the land of Judah. Run. There are people in our culture today who are telling us, shut up. That's hate speech. Don't talk like that. You're a bigot. Guess what? Doesn't change God's word. And God gave a message to Amos for that priest. And the message says, your wife will become a prostitute in the city. Now that's pretty devastating. Your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be divided up with a measuring line. In other words, your land's going to get sold to others. And you yourself will die on pagan soil. You're going to be sent into exile and you're going to die there. And Israel will certainly go into exile from its homeland. Let me just tell you something. If you know that judgment is coming and you don't warn people, you're not being nice to them. You're being cruel. Because a lot of people have a problem that is obvious, but they'd rather not deal with it right now. I know this is not good. I know I shouldn't do this. I know I drink too much. I know whatever, whatever, whatever. But I just don't want to deal with it. Well, God says, I'm establishing a plumb line. It's time to repent. It's time to repent. And so then, God talks about those who trample on the needy and do away with the poor of the land, asking, when will the new moon be over so we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so we may market wheat? The first thing in that is the fact that what God has intended as a gift, these Sabbaths and festivals, has become to these people a burden. Instead of enjoying the blessing of rest, they're resenting the fact that they can't make more money on that day. If you don't think that's typical of our culture today, you're not paying attention. And then, not only are they eager to get back to business, but they're figuring out how they can get more money by cheating others. We can reduce the measure while increasing the price. We can reduce what people get while raising the price. You cannot imagine what things were like when I was a kid. Candy bars. When I was a kid, the candy bar filled up the little package, okay? It was great. I mean, you opened it up and it was candy from one end to the other. Now it's cardboard from one end to the other and stuck in there covering about 85% of the surface is a candy bar. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what happened to my candy bar? Did somebody shrink this thing? Yes, the manufacturer shrank it and raised the price. That's what they were doing here. We just call that standard business. God calls it greed. But they say, we're going to reduce the measure while increasing the price. And we can cheat with dishonest scales. When I used to go to and from Florida so much, There was a place right by the border where you could get the best prices on gas. I was always sure to stop there because that was the place to fill up. And after I'd done so for years, it came out in the newspaper that the way they sold their gas so inexpensively was that they reset the scales. You weren't paying less per gallon. You were getting not a full gallon every time it said one, two, three. They were cheating all the customers, but man, they had plenty of customers. When it was eventually exposed by an employee who began to realize what they were doing, and that's why every time they had to keep resetting the pumps when the inspector was about to come so they wouldn't get caught. When the employee reported that, the first person he reported it to was the local authorities, and they were on the payroll. Ah! So they got rid of that employee, but that employee did not quit sounding the alarm. And eventually, the FBI got in, and they uncovered a vast plot involving a number of people and millions of dollars. It's not new. People have been lying and cheating and trying to take advantage of folks all the way back through history. It's greed, it's mammon worship, and it is hated by God. We can buy the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and we can even sell the chaff. What does that mean? That means we're going to start mixing in worthless stuff of no nutritional value and making them think it's the good stuff. It's not a new scam. It's been going on a long time. The Lord promises, he has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget all their deeds. God says, I see what's going on. People think they're getting away with something. They think it's a secret. But God says, I will judge. Look, the days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord God. When I will send a famine throughout the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Right now, at this point in Amos's ministry, people don't want to hear it. But God says the day is going to come when in the midst of disaster, people will say, okay, what does God say? And God says, it's like, well, we need to hear from God. We need the word of the Lord. Silence. While you have the opportunity, listen to what God says. While you have the opportunity, read his word, study his word, believe his word, obey his word. While you have the opportunity, there are people around the world starving for the word of God, longing to have a Bible, even a portion of scripture. We have been so blessed. While you have the opportunity, even when the word of God says things you don't like, thank God for his word and get in line with scripture. Do not despise or neglect the word of the Lord, because it points you to Jesus Christ, who is our only hope. We can't clean up our act and save ourselves, but we can repent of our sins and trust in him. And he will change us from the inside out. Our only hope is Jesus. And that is the message of the Old Testament and the New. Do not neglect his word. It is calling you to trust in Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.